life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.
Thanks for listening. I am Brian Smith, the man who is a big fan of salad, and this is episode 37 of Dynamite in the Brain, the podcast that loves anime and hates fun. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, taking time out from guest starring in People's Erotic Dreams, it's Anthony Askew.
Hello.
And in keeping with our policy of only having Irish guests on the show in 2012, we are joined by Niall Flanagan.
Hello.
That's a good observation, Brian. We must love the Irish here.
Bad news for Leon and Gary.
Yeah.
They do. Their time is done.
Exactly. Cockney scum. Like the Irish now.
They're all right. Leave them alone.
Couldn't eat a whole one, did you say?
I see you've been reading my dream diary again.
Oh, God. Oh, so what we're here for today? Who's going to tell us?
We're here for the first week of Ninja Month. February is Ninja Month at Dynamizing the Brain, where it'll be all ninjas all the time.
And I'm dressed up as one right now. Honestly.
That's not what you told me 5 minutes ago.
Drew, not what I showed you either. But no, it's Ninja Month. Exciting times. Everyone likes ninjas. Don't they?
I think they do, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's well known that I prefer pirates to ninjas, but...
There's always one.
That'll probably be in the last week. We shall get to that.
Maybe we should do a pirate month. If there's enough things with pirates, I don't really know.
Oh, there definitely is, yeah.
I suppose it's that new series which has got pirates. There's One Piece. There's all sorts, actually.
It's Captain Harlock, yeah.
There's, was it Galactic Pirates? Was it Western Connection release in the 90s where it's, I think, a device was being used to try and turn human population into cats or something. And there's a cat pirate in that.
Oh, that sounds good.
Could do Hakuge, but that's really Moby Dick rather than pirates.
Cat pirate. There's only one thing better than that, and that's a cat ninja. Because I'm on the ninja side, you see.
I'm going to find the mute button so this podcast isn't full of my coughing. Where does it live? There it is. Okay, Niall, do you want to let the listeners know a bit about you before we press on with our first ninja anime?
Well, what does everybody want to know?
Who are you? Where are you from? Kind of like a blind date interview. What would you tell Cilla Black? No, just about your first cons. Have you cosplayed?
I'm sure. I've been to a couple of cons. I've been actually watching anime since an early age. First thing I can remember like watching, but I didn't find out until much later that it was actually anime. You know how back in the day when you went to the supermarket, they'd have like that rack of tapes, and there was all cartoons, and you know, there could be anything on there.
Yeah.
But like your mom might buy one to keep it entertained for a while. And she got a few of those, and I just watched away. I bought like five or so. And I found out years later that what I was watching was episodes of Captain Harlock and Princess Knight. And I'm like, whoa.
So that's your first exposure at a very young age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Besides that, my brother, I was older than me, he bought Super Play magazine, and they had like an anime column or something like that, and anime reviews, and that kept me abreast of kind of what was out there. And I had the usual late at night and Saturday on the Sci-Fi Channel, that little drip feed every weekend to keep me going. And I don't think I started like watching it regularly enough, as in going out and buying my own DVDs or anything like that, until where is it now? I want to say the 2000s, I suppose.
Yeah, not a bad age. Not one of the extreme new schoolers.
So I don't know.
First con.
Yeah, I was IACon 2005. Like so many others.
Yeah. to breeding ground for geeks that year.
The Star Wars were aligned that year.
Best con, do you think? IACON 05?
I think IACON... I think, for me anyway, just IACON... Like, even the last few times it was on, probably the best con of that year, like about any year that it's on, you know?
Yeah, IACON know how to do it.
Yeah, I'd say 2011 was my favourite IACON, even though it seemed like it was over in a blink of an eye because I was doing three panels.
Yeah, it seems that way, all right. In the last year or two, you know, like starting out, I was mostly going to the cons to meet up with my friends and was having a wild weekend. But over time, it's been like I've been doing that as well, but at the same time, I've come to the realization that, you know, I'm paying a lot of money to come over here on a plane and pay for the membership and pay for the onset room. I should probably go out and enjoy some of these like events and panels and screenings going on. So I've been doing that for the last few cons, like KillerCon and even the AmberCon 2010 and IACON last year. And I've been having a way better time as a result.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, obviously there's a lot of work going to panels and they are actually pretty good. And I like when my first con, I watched all the fan subbed stuff and all that kind of stuff. Then from then on, for years, I never went and watched anything or went to a panel. So now I'm only getting back into the whole panel going, and they are good. And it does enhance your weekend, without a doubt.
Like in the last while there would be screening rooms on, but they'd have. Like usually big film showings, maybe possibly even premieres. I don't know if it's been any premieres, but certainly big showings like in KillerCon 2011? I think it was anyway.
There was one, yeah.
Yeah, they were showing the Evangelion films, weren't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And even in IACON as well, they have that big cinema and they were showing films there. Like I saw the Trigun film and I saw Redline, of course, in there for a second time. And running alongside it was separate to the convention, but if you wanted to, it was Friday evening, you could pay to go in there because they were showing Akira, because I was doing a run in the cinemas at the time.
Oh, I didn't know people went to see that on the Friday.
We
kind of found out like half an hour before we started. We just kind of did a quick run around to see anybody wanted to go and see it with us. Actually, we found somebody, if you can remember Raul. He hadn't seen Akira at all. And I thought, so if you're going to see it, I think this is the way you got to see it, buddy.
If I could go back in time and not watch that terrible VHS that I had and watch it in the cinema, I definitely would. Definitely would.
It certainly beats staying up till 3 in the morning on a Saturday night. That's the first time I saw it.
How did you not fall asleep? It's that kind of like, regardless how good a film is, those kind of late hours, I would have to doze off. I'm terrible for staying awake for stuff like that. As good as Akira is, I would have dozed off.
You forget, ask you, that I am crazy.
I thought you were going to say you forget that I am Irish. I have some nocturnal ability.
Irish, crazy, whatever. Not saying to me.
Tomato, tomato.
Potato, potato.
So cosplays, I know for a fact you've done cosplays.
I have indeed. The first one I did, actually, I was at the first IACON 2005. I was just getting into One Piece, and I thought, I could do a Luffy pretty easily. And that's my first one. Went down okay. Getting that hat was a trial.
Yeah, I had the same problem the time I did Luffy cosplay. It was until one randomly turned up at work on a hat stand and nobody seemed to know who owned it. So I said, okay, does anybody want this straw hat? No? Okay.
Yoink.
So why would anyone, like, what was the purpose for a straw hat in this day and age unless you're on a beach?
I don't know why
someone would be wearing one as like a...
And nobody even knew who it was.
As if the gods looked down and smiled and gave you that.
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Maybe they're like a really old-fashioned gardener. Because, like, I always thought was, you know, like Luffy's hat itself, you know, and one Shanks gave him. I thought it was like one of those like old farmer's hats you'd see. I've seen him in films before in other anime. It's where, like a farmer's hat. You'd see the guys like walking in the field and have one of those hats on.
Maybe now, one of those.
And now, of course, there is easy to get hold of. I'm just looking on eBay now. It's like Luffy hat, £7.49, free postage.
I paid like €2 for mine. I think it was like a lady's hat, actually.
Yeah, I think mine was a lady's hat as well.
It had like a big kind of curl going along the brim of it now, so I got to flatten that out. So I got all the heavy books I could find and just pull them all down the edges.
I steamed mine until to make it straight. Yeah, I had similar problems with my
how to be a great Luffy. Steal old ladies' hats.
Charity shop cosplay. That's how it's done. So all my cosplays have been charity shop cosplays, or at the very least, just going down to the market in Peterborough and finding who sells fabrics and just getting a piece of fabric for when I did the friend from 20th Century Boys mask.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, charity shops and acrylic paints used in a area where I hadn't put enough breathing space.
And
so I was at acrylic paint. I was blowing acrylic paint out my nostrils for the next day.
Yikes! See, which con did you wear that for? I forget if I've asked you this, but
Luffy, I did at Aya 2003, and that was the one where I was doing Luffy on the Sunday, and then somebody else must have been doing Luffy on the Saturday and did something drunkenly misbehaving, and I got somebody rung me out in the lift going downstairs, accusing me of all sorts of things. So I go, what?
That's brilliant.
And then I had to also chase my hat across the car park when I stepped outside. And the wind picked it up, yeah. And then I did, I'm trying to think, 2005, I did Minami, I did Pauly from One Piece.
Who, which one's that?
You won't have seen him. But, yeah.
And he's a guy, he uses like lots of ropes.
Mm.
Right, okay.
And that was the one where I used acrylic spray paint and didn't ventilate the room enough. and then 2005, I did Giroro from Sergeant Frog and Friend from 20th Century Boys.
That is like 20th Century Boys. To me, back then, was just a pipe dream. I had no idea what the hell. I'm only new to this 20th Century Boys thing, so bloody hell, if I'd have seen that, I'd have been like, what the hell's that?
Yeah, that's what most people were like.
My best.
I remember a few people who knew what it was, and they were like, cool, friend. and there was one which got lost. I think I had one ready for AMI 2004, which I didn't end up going to because I was ill, which was Mr. Three from One Piece.
Nice.
Cosplay fever.
And that was the end of my cosplay. There was another one planned, but the wig never arrived because I ballsed up my eBay account when I moved house.
So someone else got a wig.
Someone else got a purple wig.
And who was that meant to be? Fear Valentine? Or
no, that was going to be Spandam from One Piece.
Oh, see.
Does he have purple hair?
Does he have purple hair? Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah, it's very light purple. I keep thinking he's blonde.
Now, I remember Niall doing a Bleach cosplay one year.
Oh, yeah, I did. Issued the Archer dude one of those years.
I remember that. That's when you had short hair.
That's when I had short hair. And funnily enough, at the time, I was wearing a wig for it, and I said, I'll never grow my hair long. Never. But now I think I'm mostly well known as, hey, nah, he's that guy with the crazy hair. He's Irish.
It's good to be known as. It's not bad. Well, I think we've talked more about pirates than ninjas. So
do you want to move on to the ninjas?
I guess so.
Right, yeah, we're going to be talking today about the 1993 OAV by Yoshiaki Kawajiri, Ninja Scroll. So, when was the first time you guys saw Ninja Scroll?
Niall, go ahead. To wrap my brain.
More than likely, was the aforementioned late night sci-fi channel, Saturday Night Block. I was fortunate from a young age to have a satellite TV in my house. So I saw it, yeah, I was probably like young enough when I was, it must have been 10 or younger, perhaps.
I was about to ask, were you 18 when you saw it?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, I think a friend of mine got it on DVD. Because I remember he bought that and I bought something totally crap on the same day from HMV. I can't even remember what mine was, but I ended up getting this DVD via trade and had some bootlegs of Samurai Deeper Kyo that I didn't want. And I traded that for a load of, like, there was Ninja Scroll and other stuff. And it must have been 2001. So well, 7 years, well yeah. After it had been out.
I was trying to figure out when it came out in the UK, but Google's not helping me. Around 95, 96, I guess.
95 over here.
Yeah, because the first time I saw it was 2 days ago. I somehow managed to avoid seeing it. I've seen some of the TV series.
Well, that makes two of us.
Three of us. All
you
of
seen
the
it, you've seen it too. I
own the entire series.
You see, I having not seen the IV, it couldn't disappoint me. So I don't have the same opinion of it as you. I can't remember much about it, but I don't remember being disappointed or appalled by it. But yeah, so I think it might have been a bit too late for me to see it when my mates were buying anime, because I think when I was at university they were buying them, I'm trying to think, 94, 95 maybe, things like Fist of the North Star, Vampire Hunter D, and I remember seeing Tetsuo 2, the live action.
I've wanted to see that for a while. I've been told. I can't remember whether I've been told it's good, but I've been told about
it. It's good. You should watch it.
Is it all right?
Yeah. Okay. And then when I did get into anime proper, I was buying things like Tenchi Muyo and Eurosight Sir. I didn't buy much manga video stuff. I think the stuff I got from them would be Macross Plus when it was in the. Because it was like appearing in sales in 96, I remember, when I was living in York.
Oh, nice.
And Giant Robo, when they're releasing that in single volumes, month on month.
I've actually got a very weird and interesting experience of when I first watched Ninja Scroll. Because I was really ill at the time, which I suppose fits in with today, because I'm still kind of ill. But anyway, I was lying in bed with like a really high temperature, and I was watching Ninja Scroll on a little portable above my desk. And I can't remember at the time much about it, and I had to rewatch it the next day. But I was so ill watching it the first time. And I'm sure Ninja Scroll didn't help with some of the flashing lights and. Oof.
You had to make sure all that really happened.
I know. That's what I had to check. Yeah, not that good of a story, but at the time it was. Well, it wasn't that good at the time. It was a nightmare, actually, because I was ill as hell.
If I remember correctly, the DVD originally was just like a VHS from Master rather than like a. A lot of those early manga video DVDs were kind of rotten in terms of video quality.
Oh, yeah, when I rewatched it again the other day for this episode, I couldn't believe like some of the lines, what they call the. Anti-aliasing lines and all this.
And artifacts. And
It was atrocious. And I thought, surely this needs re-released. I don't know whether it's been... Oh, no, didn't it get a 10th anniversary?
It did.
Releases. Oh, well. Oh.
That's the one I have.
Do you know if the quality's any better at all? Or?
Looks
it can't
okay
be any
enough.
Worse.
Oh, that's certainly not. It's certainly an upgrade from the one I taped off the telly, like, so... that looks okay, I think. It was always pretty good animation, I think. And,
oh, yes. Yeah. The thing that really struck me about this DVD release is how poor quality the sound is. Some of the sound is just pants, and I remember it being just a load better.
Yeah, I think they did. They offload loads of those on that part series. Was it Manga Zone or something they called it?
Oh, yeah. Manga Force, I believe it was
called. Oh, Manga Force, that's it, yeah.
And what was all that about? What was that?
You know, it was like one of these part works, which always start at Christmas, you know, where first part's $2.99, second part's $5.99, and then it's £10
yeah.
every fortnight for the rest of your life.
It's like one of those like make your own dinosaur things. You know, award like you get the skull first for like £2, and then after that it's like a tenner to get like a toe bone or something like that.
Toe bone. Because yeah. I used to subscribe. Well, I say subscribe. I used to buy a Lion King magazine, which was the exact same premise. It started off mega cheap and then went. It cost the earth basically.
Yeah,
I think Marvel are doing a. Sort of a hardback graphic novel one at the moment.
Oh, I did see that, like an advert online, I think.
It was on TV as well.
That's maybe where I saw it.
It was on all over Christmas, yeah. So I think that was like the first one was dirt cheap, then the second one was a little more expensive, and then it's like every fortnight it's £10 now. But
yikes.
It's running for planning to run for 2 years or something.
So. Good luck.
Good luck.
I imagine, in theory, you're getting some cheap hardback books, but...
Do you really want that
it's
many?
It's a lot... Yeah, do you really want all of the ones they're collecting as well?
And also, are they of any, like, decent quality at all, as far as, like, story or anything like that?
Yeah, because you can never really pick and choose, because a newsagent will only take, I think, the first three, and then they'll only order them to order after that.
Oh, nice.
From, having a mum who used to work at newsagents.
Yeah.
Inside Jen on newsagents and dinner ladies and dry cleaning.
My grandmother was a dinner lady. I used to get dessert from school. I'd eat the dessert at school, and I'd go to my grandmother's and have the same dessert because she made enough for me twice.
It's dry cleaning, which is the really full of trade secrets.
And really?
Yeah. There's so many things, like, supposedly you can't do to clothes, which actually dry cleaners can.
Oh, well, I would know all about that since my family business is a dry cleaner, and I worked with them for a couple of years.
Yeah. And the sort of things they have brought to them as well, like suits with cake inside the pocket.
Oh, yeah, I wish it was cake sometimes.
Yes.
Oh, God.
But this isn't dry cleaner scrolls.
It can be.
I'm sure there probably is a manga out there somewhere about dry cleaning.
If not, why not?
But ninja dry cleaning.
This is Ninja Scroll. So who wants to have a crack at explaining
it's got to
be those
Nile.
Who haven't seen it what goes on in this show?
Okay, I'll give it a shot. It follows a man named Jubei Kibagabe, who was a swordsman for hire, and he offers his skills for money. And one night he rescues a woman who was the last survivor of a ninja team who were all slaughtered while investigating strange goings on at a village. And she's being assaulted by the killer of her team, who was a large man who previously made entirely out of rock. And she rescues her and they get away, but what he does not know is that the giant rock man is a member of an evil group called the Devils of Kimon, who have a conspiracy afoot to bring down the government of Japan. And it's up to Jubei and the ninja lady and the government spy to put an end to this plot and save the day.
Well done. I couldn't have said it better myself, literally. I am the worst at giving synopsis.
That's like a catchphrase, you know that?
Yeah, that's... as I said on our first attempt of recording this, which I'll not get into, is I never knew the true synopsis, because I kind of... When I first watched it, yes, I watched it, and I took notice, but the story's not memorable enough to kind of, you know, for the second time, third time you watch it, I just skipped through the action scenes. So it kind of, the story was lost on me until rewatching it a few days ago. So, good story, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good story. Like, I watched a good bit of the interview with Yoshihiko Kawajiri that's on the DVD there, and he was saying that even though it's set in like feudal Japan and there's like it's kind of a different culture and there are different things going on that may not be fully understood by, you know, Western viewers or viewers in other countries, he still thinks that the story is clear enough to be able to pick up like on what's going on. You know, that these are the good guys, these are the bad guys, and they fight and things will play out like that.
That's a good point. I almost think the story, without sounding stupid, I almost think it's too complicated for an hour and a half. Because there's a lot going on.
Is there?
There is. Past this kind of hack and slash, or a bad guy turns up, kill him, blah, blah, blah. There's all this, like, the political side, which they could have went into. I'm pleased they didn't. Because that would have been incredibly boring. Because kind of that kind of era of politics, I'm sure, isn't the most exciting thing to have a show about or a film.
I think it just appears more complicated in the start than it actually is. I mean, it's clouded by the fact that you've got all these ninjas with crazy superpowers.
True.
But then it turns out that a lot of the stuff which is set up at the start is just faked. Well, no, it's faked to try and convince them not to look into what they're actually doing, which is just nicking a bunch of gold.
Yeah.
I suppose.
You know, there's a lot of like double crossing and stuff going on at that, but you know,
yeah,
it's nothing too complex.
And there's one fault I picked up on like this viewing is some of the demons are crap. I'm sorry, because like Tesai, the first one he introduced to in what I call one of the most iconic scenes in the thing, which is the ninja skipping across the trees and then the big blade comes spinning, blah, 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 and he kills them all. He is the best, without a doubt.
But I
kind of think that almost blow their loads on him. Because, don't get us wrong, I'll not get to the other demons, but the bee guy, the insect fella.
You had a lot of heart, Jack.
I mean, come on, he's a crap.
We can't all be giant rock, man. I mean, like that position was taken, you know, if you were...
they can be only one.
That'd be an equal opportunity ninja group, you know?
True.
So Tesai is your favourite of the...
Well, I wouldn't go as far... In terms of demon and monstrous ability, yes, he is my favourite. But in terms of, well, coolness, it's got to be the Blind Samurai. But I never regarded him as one of the demons.
He's not a ninja, no.
He's got superpower, though.
But what is it? To blind people?
He's got super hearing.
Yes.
And he can blind people with his sword.
Well, I suppose, but...
Which is pretty clever, so he doesn't know where the sun is.
Yeah, that's what I figured out. I think he must be able to hear sunlight.
He can feel the warmth on his skin.
Exactly, yeah.
He's
like Daredevil.
Exactly. Without the Ben Affleck, thankfully. But no, those two by far are the... At least for me.
I would say the worst one is perhaps... Which one's the guy who hides in the shadows, who manages to pull the sword into his own forehead?
He's a bit pants.
Now, in these demon ninjas, the guy who is probably the most like a ninja is the worst one.
Who? The bee guy?
No. The shadow guy.
He's
the extendable claw can hide in the shadows, but...
Well, he can multiply himself. Which, like, an illusion which just gets foiled straight away. He is a bit... The more I think about it, he's crap. What's his name?
Shijima.
Shijima.
That's the guy.
It's kind of like the first time you see him spill off into those all those like doubles, and I think, oh, this guy's got some moves. But Jubei just like, cuts all of them at once and cuts his freaking leg off. Way to go, dude.
Because in all fairness, they could, I'm not going to get into the kind of who would beat who, but Tessai is the hardest because without the ninja girl, Kagero, because she kind of turns out to have killed him with her poison, like the poison that runs through her veins because he's raping her and stuff. And he obviously you exchange fluids in that act, I'd imagine.
Yes. Well, no, so her kiss can kill, and you saw him while doing what passed for kissing with his mouth, which was bigger than her head, really.
Yeah, he's kind of, I don't know if he's trying to, like, assault her or eat her or both.
But if it wasn't for her and that poison, he'd have killed Jubei without a doubt. And the plan would have succeeded, and that was that.
More than likely, yeah. But we see it in that fight that Jubei, you know, he's got some moves, like he has the quick draw technique that, you know, he can make the kind of blade of air, like, fly away from the sword and cut things.
And he also has one set of the most remarkable fishing line in this show.
Oh, it's
fishing line has superpowers in this show.
Carbon nanotubes, dude. Been around for decades.
I've got a good question. Well, it mightn't be that good of a question, but is that sword his, or is that the one that he is transporting that they mention at the very start?
I got the impression it's the one he's transporting at the very start. Right. He's asking for directions from Tessai, and that's where he gets mixed up in.
Because what's he got without that sword? Without that weapon, what's he got?
Well, he clearly knows how to use a sword, you know. So.
I know, but I'm just being picky. I'm not meaning to be picky because I totally love this.
A hobo.
I know, like he's got to walk everywhere, so you know, he's supposed to get kind of heavy, you know. So like,
chuck away the bad one.
Just carry one of these.
I mean, he's got 20 gold. I'm sure he can buy another one.
And he's got his fishing line.
He certainly won't be hungry.
We should carry the weight of two human beings on it.
I'll catch one big fish.
No, that's odd.
So you got Tessai, who's the big large guy who dies from poison in the middle of a fight. Benny Sato, a woman who has snake tattoos and can shed her skin and stores a snake in her vagina.
You said it, not me.
She gets offed by one of the other ninjas, doesn't she?
There is a lot of infighting in the Devils of Kamon, you know.
All for the love of Gemma.
Oh,
or Gemma, geez. Depending on how, if you're literal how it's spelled. Because there's a lot of like homoerotic tension between one of the demons and Gemma.
Yeah, so you got Mashizu, who's the guy with the hornet's nest in his back.
Ugh, come on.
You got Majuru, who is the blind swordsman. I suppose he's supposed to be a riff on Zatoichi, I guess.
Yeah.
Perhaps, yeah.
Because apparently Jubei is based on some guy. I forget.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the ideas are based on the books of Futaro Yamada.
Yeah. Right.
And
go on.
So he's, I think a lot, as far as I know, a lot of the super ninja stuff that you see in this and in Naruto and sort of modern day ninjas, he invented.
And when did he write? When was
in the 50s and late 50s and through the 60s.
And he translated into English or not?
There's the Kuga Ninja Scrolls, which there's the manga Basilisk and the anime Basilisk are based on that.
Oh, I've seen the series of that, but I didn't know that was.
But I think there might be some other translations.
Right.
Possibly around. I seem to
remember. I was just curious.
Yeah, so as far as I know, I think he's the guy who came up with a lot of the ninja superpower stuff. And because I think, if I was looking at the description of the Kuga Ninja Scrolls, it involves ninjas with superpowers created through selective breeding And some of them are physically disfigured and abnormally mutated, and obviously you can see that in the demons in Ninja Scroll. That's the same sort of idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's got another one where ancient swordsmen are resurrected, and I think one adaptation of it involves somebody getting beheaded and surviving, which is something else which is in Ninja Scroll. But obviously, yeah, the Resurrection Swordsman, that appears in Naruto later on.
Oh, yeah.
As well as a big plot angle there.
In regards to who? In Naruto, I don't know.
When Orochimaru attacks the village.
Oh, right.
And he raises the other Hokages.
Oh, yeah. That feels like a lifetime ago since I watched that. But yeah, moving on.
That'll be another show.
Yeah.
you got these guys. So you got Shijima, the shadow ninja, who pulls a sword into his forehead.
Who's apparently crap as well.
Well, he can possess people's mind. He's got the most ninja-y of ninja-y skills.
I forgot about that kind of manipulation power, yeah, which proves to be decent.
He can control dead bodies, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he controls Kagura as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who, attempts to kill Jubei.
So you got the Yurimaru, who's the pretty boy ninja who's in love with Gemma, and he's also got super-powered fishing line, which he can... He sort of leaves all over the country, apparently.
Yeah.
Because he uses it to talk to Gemma in some sort of tin can and string type situation.
The height of ninja technology.
It's like a hilarious voice, I thought. Like a little robotic version of their own voice. At least on the English dub.
I watched the dub as well. And he can electrocute people. And there's Zakuro, who's in love with Yurimaru, and she can blow things up.
I like her character. Like, I know she doesn't do much at all, but she looks pretty good. I like her big cloak thing and, like, the feathers and stuff. She looks pretty good.
And then finally, there's Gemma, who's the head of the Eight Demons, and he's working with a guy called the Shogun of the Dark to overthrow the government.
And he's totally huge.
Yeah, he's got would you say he's got the biggest chin in the show? Okay, there's a lot of big chins.
Doubt. The little point where he transforms from the leader of Kagero's clan. I forget his name. When he kind of transforms from him.
His chin just
it dwarfs that little hat that he's wearing. The chin is big.
And he's got power of immortality.
Yeah.
Reincarnation, Brian.
And he's pretty much like a Fist of the North Star character, to be honest.
Yeah, I think when they were bringing him back to life, they put his head in the wrong body.
But I think they got someone else's chin as well. It's certainly an... don't forget, he's not one of the demons, but Daquan.
Yeah, that's who I was going to just say we hadn't talked about. Who's the government agent? Who's this old man? He's your typical old man in a...
Kawajiri trademark crazy old man, yeah.
And what's his power? He poisons Jubei, doesn't he, to make him go along with him.
Yeah, he's very sly and sneaky, which is...
And he can... chameleon into things.
When he turns into the tree branch, I laugh every time I see that. It looks just hilarious.
It is pretty wrinkly, just throw on a lot of body paint.
And he's got that extending stick.
And extendable arms as well.
Yeah, he's got a lot going for him, except youth. Youth is not on his side.
Well, I don't know. By the end of the film, it is compared to sort of Kagero.
What do you think of the kind of romance between Jubei and Kagero?
It's fine for what it is, because obviously he's not particularly interested. He's being manly by not being interested in her to begin with.
Yeah, I kind of like it because she's as because of her position, she's used to being this like used and abused, but he kind of treats her with a bit of respect.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's willing to save her life, so
yeah,
it's better than raping her like other people have clearly tried.
You know, he had the opportunity to take advantage of her, like even if it was to save his own life, but he kind of respects her too much to just take her in and there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame she gets killed off.
Yeah, I know.
Spoilers, but she does.
Plus at that point, he'd had the explanation of how to cure himself, so really, all he needed was another poison. It didn't necessarily have to be her poison.
That's true. But could you turn down a kiss from Kagero? If you were in feudal Japan, not a chance. She's hot property in Japan, her. Hot property.
Well, all those ninjas at the start who were killed by Tezai, they can't stop going on about, oh, she's so hot. I thought, well, you guys probably shut the hell up because we're going to give away our opposition, and I think that's why they got killed.
pervs, blowing cover.
Hoisted by their own petard, or perv-tard, I suppose.
That one guy who gets killed, that Hanzo or whatever he's
Hanzo,
called.
I
was so disappointed when he dies. Because I think he's a pretty cool character. I don't, he's probably got no powers whatsoever at all. Or he's not, well, he might be strong, I don't know. But I liked him. I did like him.
He did kind of pull a short straw by going up against Tessai, the big rock man. Why couldn't I have fought B guy?
Oh, B guy.
Well, that's you got to send Tessai up front, because otherwise, if you put all the other seven before him, then you're just going to wipe out seven of your ninjas.
Exactly, that is a very good logic.
If you stick them behind Tessai, then you keep eight ninjas going.
Just walking a straight line behind them.
Now, the thing I didn't check is that like near the end, Gemma says he's being impersonated in the Chamberlain for 3 days.
Yeah.
So had he been the one who'd sent them out in the first place?
That makes a lot of sense. You know, bless. Okay, I know Tessai's waiting in the village, so I can just send them all there, yeah, and I can kill them all, and that's like another problem out of the way.
Yeah, possibly.
And that would also make sense that when his other advisor keeps on telling him that we should do something rather than just leaving this one ninja wandering around on her own. And he's like, oh no, it's perfectly okay. I've got that one woman ninja out there.
She'll
be able to sort it out all on her own.
She's the best at it. She is at what she does.
All she has to do somehow is seduce every single member of the ninja team.
It'll take a while, but it's the safest
She'll
way.
Get there.
Well, yeah, she might get a sticking point when she reaches Shijima.
Oh,
not Shijima, Yurimaro, rather.
The pretty boy, I take it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even Gemma, because he'll just keep coming back, won't he?
That is true, yes.
That's very true. But so, Jubei, I think we need to mention Jubei, of how cool he is.
Hmm. He wasn't quite as cool as I imagined him being.
Really?
I don't know if it's just the dub voice and the fact
See,
that
I personally really like the dubbed voice. It's got people's that love smug feel. I like that.
I think it's pretty good because he has the skills and, you know, his skills and he's pretty tough, but more often than not, he gets his head kicked in the process.
He's kind of like a Spike Spiegel-esque.
I was thinking more
eyes cracks and.
I was thinking more kind of like John McClane.
You know? Die hard. Yeah.
It's like he gets a job done, but he's gonna like go to the ringer before the ends.
I really like the dub. Not that I've watched the job. I don't remember, but I'm fond of the dub. And it's got Wendy Lee as Kagero, which is Faye Valentine, which I like.
I thought it was fine. I had, we've all like this a decade and a half of this being built up by other people and me not actually seeing it, I think I had a completely different impression as to what the main character was like than to actually what he was like. So when he was this laid-back hobo rather than the badass ninja, it was like a bit of dissonance there from
reality
and expectation.
Oh, that's a shame. So how did it compare to your estimations in general, with this being your first time?
It was about what I expected from a Yoshiaki Kawajiri thing, based on the sort of the pulp ninja genre. Because it's much more in that, rather than... Is it Shanbara, the samurai genre? Swordsman?
Shanbara, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not so much based around... It's a pulp thing, rather than sort of... There's not... Apart from your blind swordsman, there's not much focus on the sword play. It's more focused on, look at these ninjas and their crazy powers. Trick is Jubei going to have to pull to kill them?
And it usually involves a fishing line to escape somehow.
And it usually involves a fishing line, or else the infighting will come up and they're just killing themselves off.
Yeah. Fancy that bee guy just falling in the water and dying. It's so crap. I get the logic that the bees want to somehow get out, but surely he would know that. He would know that. That's the first thing he tried. He tried to get into a bath, and there were angry bee noise, and said no. Oh, he's a weak link. He is a weak link.
Well, it is because when you think about it, it's not until Kagura gets killed that Jubei actually starts kicking ass. Up until point, he has to... He basically has to either outwit or get lucky in finishing off any of the other people.
He gets very lucky in pretty much every fight.
But I did like the final fight with Gemma. I thought that was nicely brutal with the headbutting.
That's simultaneously incredibly brilliant and
it is awesome.
But he's still there now?
And then driving his head through the woodblock of the ship.
The only thing, when all that molten gold comes down on him, I was thinking, how much gold was there on that boat? And how was the boat afloat if there was that much gold on it?
It's a pretty big boat.
It was a big boat, but that was a lot of gold.
I don't know.
And it hadn't all melted either.
What temperature does gold melt at? To that degree.
Gold's got a fairly low melting point.
Yeah.
There we go. It's the science bit. Let me look it up for you.
You'll learn something.
It is... it's 1,337K, which is...
Please, Kelvin.
Oh, Kelvin. Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty hot. Yeah, that's like 1,000 Celsius.
See? But no, if it's a cool way to die. I wouldn't like to die that way, but it's a good death.
Well, he's not dead.
Well, he's not well.
He's just forever alive in the bottom of the sea, and he can't move.
Inside a statue of himself.
Yes, as Jubei so eloquently points out, Gemma, burn in your golden hell.
And of course, a huge amount of gold just lying a few metres away from the shore. Nobody's going to go and try and pull that out from there. Because it's not like they were in the middle of the sea, really, were they, by the time the ship blew up?
They were fresh out of harbour, yeah.
No, to think that it's going to be 20 years old.
Yeah.
Very soon.
So crazy.
That is bizarre. Because I thought, 1993, that's not that long ago. Then I thought, oh crap, it's 2012. That is a long time ago. That's crazy. Does it hold up?
For me, yeah, even as soon as Sunday when I watched it again for this.
Yeah.
And I think, I still really enjoy this. There are, you know, like the like kind of questionable scenes, like Tessa and Gero, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's kind of icky, but whatever.
Well, I think it's obviously, yes, I still love it, but it's a lot less violent and it's got a lot less bad language than what I remember. Because I think at the time I was blown away by just Tessa saying piss off. I was like, oh, swearing in a cartoon. Bear in mind, in the year 2000 or whatever, I was only like 10, 11, 11, 12 or something. I don't know. So I've got a clean mouth. And to see, like, I don't know, a bit of rape going on, a silhouette of someone having sex, that to me was gold dust. In a cartoon, all this in a cartoon.
Yeah.
Glorious.
Have you seen Wicked City?
See, that's one thing I really need to watch, especially after realising that it's obviously the same guy. So really need to see that.
Well, they wouldn't have let him make an Indiana Scrolls if he hadn't done the job he did on Wicked City. Compared to that, he's really kind of toned down his rape scenes. And
have both of you seen Wicked City or not?
I have seen Wicked City. Not for a very long time. I didn't much care for it, I don't think.
I will definitely have to watch that.
It's probably not as good as I remember it at all, seeing as I'm a grown man now. That was another one that I saw really younger than I should have been when I saw it. So.
I did like it was Monster City over here, Demon City Shinjuku.
Demon City Shinjuku. Another good one that I like is Goku Midnight Eye.
Yes. Yeah, that's Sci-Fi Channel days, that one.
Mm.
So I've seen that. Yeah, he's got a similar kind of staff as that Daquan guy.
It's a little staff, but, you know, that's pretty good. It's a little staff, it shoots lasers, but he has a supercomputer in it, like in his eye that can control alien machine and hack into anything.
I do like it. It's been a lot of years since I've watched it, so I don't know whether I'd quite appreciate it as much now, but from memory, it was awesome as well.
I know. I watched it there, maybe it started last year. I think I got to have my hands in it again. And it's silly, you know, it's Cowboy Jerry. It's always going to be silly, but it's still fun as all hell. So.
Yeah.
Well, I do have some other Cowboy Jerry things planned for later in the year.
Good.
So,
sign me up.
One of them is a fond favourite of mine.
Yes.
Very fond. Well, might as well mention the TV show and the fake sequel, Ninja Resurrection, which I've never seen. So, if any of you have seen it, shed some light, please.
Yeah, that was the one where they designed a logo to make it look like it might be a sequel to Ninja Scroll, didn't they?
Yeah.
And called it Ninja Resurrection. But though, Ninja Resurrection does kind of make more sense as a title than Ninja Scroll makes as a sense of a title for this thing.
Yeah, it does.
Because Ninja Resurrection, they are actually resurrecting.
Yeah, I can remember seeing the cover of the DVD and the sticker saying, starring Jubei from Ninja Scroll.
No, starring the Jubei that Jubei from Ninja Scroll was based on. But
he's got the eye patch, hasn't he?
They were half right, yeah.
I'll have to check that out because it was a thing I used to go into the like HMV and I'd see and I'd say, oh, sequel to Ninja Scroll, I've got to have that.
As far as I know, it was never finished, so I'm not sure what you do. I think it was abandoned.
It was never finished?
Yeah.
What a cop-out. So they released it as a fake sequel and it was unfinished. Cheap. But I bet it's better than the TV series.
TV series is kind of... it's kind of boring to be perfectly honest.
Oh, it's incredibly boring. Incredibly boring. Because I remember I bought the first volume and I was like, oh, Ninja Scroll is a series. This is going to be immense. And I didn't particularly like the first volume, yet I continued to buy them. I think there's only three volumes because it's only...
It was only a short series.
Long, yeah. Oh, but it's not very good.
No, I got it as a gift from my brother. He sent it home to me, I think, for a birthday or a Christmas. And, you know, it was like the whole shebang. I had, like, the metal box and the lovely designs on the inside and the art book and everything like that. It was really nice. And Ninja Scroll, I'll probably enjoy this, but it's just boring, boring, boring.
Big disappointment.
It's always like, he's caught in the middle of the... strange goings on, and just the fight between these like two clans who are kind of the demon clans, I suppose. And the episode would be that he counts one of these guys and hears their tragic backstory, and then Genjube kills him in the end.
Keep and going. There's a bad guy every episode that he has to fight. Imagine the B guy from the film, and that's what each of the villains are like. They're totally rubbish. They're like Frankenstein monsters, kind of that kind of creation level.
There's one I can remember that I think her ninja power wise, she's like Queto from Total Recall, and she's like I think her child is growing out of her chest or something like that.
Totally rubbish.
Exactly.
But yeah, if you ever have a chance to watch one of the Scroll Resurrection or the TV show, just watch Scroll.
Yeah, keep holding out for that sequel to the actual sequel Ninja Scroll that has been in development for a number of years.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Mm.
Oh, that would be immense. Oh.
You would think, yeah, that it would happen, because I'm sure Ninja Scroll just kept on selling and selling and selling in the 90s.
Well, like I said, it'll be 20 years next year, won't it? So
yeah.
They'll probably roll that out.
And I feel like you can ask a lot of people whether they're in anime or not and say, oh, like, have you seen Ninja Scroll? And a lot of them will say, oh, yes, of course. Whether they watch this kind of thing or not, I think it's a kind of a bit of a, whether it's a cult following or not, but a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah, and people who like ninjas have seen it as well.
Exactly.
And there are people who buy anything with ninjas on them. Anything with ninjas on them.
I used to probably be like that.
I know friends who used to go walking around town dressed as ninjas. They'd go to the shops dressed as ninjas.
No, what kind of ninja? Like a what style of ninja?
The full black head to toe costume.
Do you still know these people? Or
I do, yes. Oh, I've not seen them for a while, but I do still know these people.
They're probably lurking somewhere in the shadows, if they're ninjas. But I remember in like very young age, like primary school, junior school, I used to always want to be a ninja when I grew up. I'm sure I've mentioned that before, but I used to want to be a ninja. The world we live in today.
So did you buy a Naruto headband to...
I never did. It was something I always wanted. And then when I started to build up enough kind of courage to finally get one, I thought, actually, you know what? No, I can do without this one. I bought a lot of crap in my years. A lot of crap. And that's not one of them.
No. Do you ever buy ninja weapons? Mail order ninja weapons? I went to school with people who did that.
I used to always want the swords you could get. You know, you get like the three set swords.
Yeah.
Just kind of ninja, more samurai. Yeah.
They're samurai swords. You want the ninja fit straight sword, really.
Yeah, I used to always want that kind of thing. Well, I never did. Never did.
Yeah, I remember.
I got a kendo stick, but that's, as I say, samurai esque. So.
Now, I remember a kid called Nicky Rudd bringing a shuriken into school.
Was it sharp?
What?
Yes, it was, yeah. You know that South Park episodes? Which...
based on a true story, huh?
I tell you, I'm surprised you two, because it always seemed, maybe it's just living out in the fens, does it, that these things are more free and easy, that everyone seems to know somebody who had access to weaponry.
Yeah, I'm sure, why send away for that when, like, if you have... two bits of wood and a chain or a rope lying around, you can make nunchucks out of that, you know?
It could just be that I'm older than you and it used to be easier to bring things across from the continent.
I did have a friend who, excuse me, seemed to have access to, once again, I don't know whether I've mentioned this on a prior episode or not, but he had access to these very sharp metal cogs, which we used to stick onto Beyblades. we had our legit... customary Beyblades. None of this buying crap from Toys R Us. We had real custom stuff. So yeah.
No, definitely haven't mentioned that before.
we were the real deal in Beyblade competition.
Hey, if you were any good, you would like get like a small lizard and tape it on top of the Beyblade and like shoot that out. Go fucking whatever the thing was called. Go, dragon Beyblade.
I've actually still got the Beyblade in a drawer somewhere. Maybe I should take a picture of it.
But we know what your Ninja Scroll special, your, if you joined the demons, you'd have some sort of special top-spinning power.
You would lure your opponent into a skate park and dispatch him with ease.
Oh, well, you always learn something new about me.
I think that's a good place to wrap up our Ninja Scroll discussion.
It is.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, Niall, before we do our usual plugs?
I don't know. I just think this is one of my favourite films, and Kawajiri is one of my favourite directors, whatever you would want to think about me now, because by saying that, but I think he legitimately like makes good films and makes films that play very well in the Western world anyway.
And, agreed. Yeah. Very cinematic.
Yeah. I want to see him like make another Ultron product again, because that Highlander thing, I know it didn't turn out too well, but I think give him another chance.
I'm sure he will. I'm trying to think. Oh, he's still mostly working on it, but yeah, he did some work on Red Line.
Yeah, he's getting a bit of work like here and there.
Paying the bills.
Yeah. As Red Line, he's done some storyboarding for Chihaya Furu.
That seems an odd match, but I suppose you go where the money is.
Kawajiri, gotta get paid, son.
Oh, great stuff. Great film.
Mm. Righty-ho, anything you want to plug? By the review too. Your usual stuff?
Go on, Niall. You fire away.
Okay, well, myself and my friend Dwayne have been working on a podcast now. It's this idea came was like by this time last year, but you guys kind of beat us to the street. And that podcast is Secret of the Sailor Madness. Which is a podcast about cartoons in general. We found that a lot of cartoon podcasts seem to have focused a bit too much in the 80s, you know, but there's a lot of good stuff, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, just good stuff still coming out then. And so we want to kind of put the knowledge out there to people.
Where can we find this?
You can find it at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com. And our initial very rough recording should be up there in the next couple of days or so. I'll be announcing it all over the usual social media malarkey.
Good. I will certainly subscribe or whatever else. Give it a listen.
And talking of social media malarkey, where can people find you on Twitter? I know your amazing Twitter handle.
You can find me on Twitter. You can find my mad ravings occasionally at Nihilus_Cage. That is Nihilus_Cage.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
I think out of all the permutations of my name for a Twitter handle, I think that was the best. It was either that, Annihilation, or Nine Inch Niles.
That should be just boasting.
Oh, I wish I was called Niall now. Oh, but my puns tend to be really bad, so I would have like Niall just scroll and something equally as rubbish. Oh god.
Oh. Okay, Anthony, your usual plugs.
Twitter. I'm on Twitter. It's AntAskew. AntAskew. YouTube. Saying 808. TSENG. The numbers 808. And that's it.
Okay, you can find us on the website dynamiteinthebrain.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes, where we are Dynamite in the Brain. You can also look for us on Feedburner, which is feedburner.com/dynamiteinthebrain. You can subscribe there as well if you want to. And also my personal website is awesome-engine.com. And you can find me on Twitter at awesome_engine.
We'll be at KitaCon as well.
We will be. I should be doing Mad Extravaganza, and I assume I'm doing a thing called Anisong Armageddon with you, Anthony, and yes. Leon, and possibly others, where we will be reviewing pop music related to anime in a similar style to our Christmas episode.
It will be good. And I'm going to be there, obviously. I'll be doing that. And I'm going to be doing AMV Iron Chef once again, as well as helping out on a machinima panel. So just check the events timetable. I don't know if anything's been announced yet.
It hasn't on that front, I don't think.
I'm also going to probably be commentating on a Street Fighter tournament. So go there. Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Are you taking part in the Street Fighter tournament? You just commentate.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, and I'm going to sit there and shout my own commentary as I play.
Right.
Of course not, but I will be taking part. Thanks for listening. If that's it, of course.
No, that's it. No, the other thing is next week, Lupin versus ninjas. Right.
Then. Oh, is that next week? Good.
Cheerio.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain. Dynamite in the brain.